Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, fellow redeemed. Our sermon text again are the words of the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4. It says there, "Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him, and going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. By them you set us apart from the darkness for the eternal light of your heavenly kingdom. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, the news is full of all kinds of senseless events. We hear about these things that are happening in our world, and sometimes it can be so frustrating because we just can't see any purpose at all in them. We try to wrap our minds around these things, and either we race off into the heights of glee or the depths of despair. We just don't know what to make of these things, and we imagine all kinds of things to be true. When a loved one dies, for example, in a seemingly random accident, we naturally ask, why? Why? Why must it be so? When a distant relative dies and leaves a sizable inheritance, well, then we ask, why? What possible reason could my great step aunt, twice removed, have for giving me so much? The expression of purpose is what we're lacking. We need to hear that. The expression of purpose can make something, a great blunder, for example, into something dear. The whole kitchen covered in flour. And yet when that little boy or girl says, "'Cause I wanted to make you a cookie," that expression of purpose changes everything, doesn't it? The expression of purpose is such a powerful thing because it brings us from the endless expanse of speculation to the truth all at once. The expression of purpose can make something that's seemingly innocuous seem very sinister. For example, when we find out what Herod's purpose was for saying to those wise men who came seeking the Christ child that he wanted to know where that child was so that he could go and worship. Well, when we find out what his real purpose was, when we see him slaughtering those little toddlers in Bethlehem, that changes everything. It can change our understanding of a great evil into a great good. When the Spirit revealed to us God's purpose for sending his own Son into the world, then that dark cross And that crucifixion is changed from something awful, something, a terrible evil. It's changed from that to something with such sublime light shining from it. Because we know there Christ won our salvation. The expression of purpose can shatter the gloom and fill us with joy. So that it might be fulfilled. You'll find that buried in that gospel text of ours today, our sermon text. And at first glance, those little words just seem like something we just read right over the top of. They don't seem that important, but think about what it's telling you there. It's expressing the purpose. So let us put our attention on that phrase this morning and let that be our theme for the day, so that it might be fulfilled. And let us think first of all about the purpose of the shadow of death. If God's light had never shined upon this world of ours, then the shadow of death would be no shadow at all, but utter darkness. Not cast, but everywhere. And over all, a darkness deeper than night, an outer darkness where there would be nothing but weeping and gnashing of teeth. God's wrathful punishment and torment, together with the devil and all the evil angels. But so that the darkness would be but a passing shadow, God promised that a great light would rise over this earth, the light of the Divine One Himself. Shortly after John the Baptizer had been imprisoned by Herod, Jesus began His ministry by revealing the divine purpose for all of this. The gloom of death was all around Him in a way that He probably was the only one who could really see and perceive. John's head would soon be brought out at a party on a silver platter. Jesus Himself, looking ahead, knew that in just a few years He would be there on the cross, giving His own life. All around Him was the shadow of death. And so His message is all the more surprising to us. When Jesus began His ministry, He doesn't change from what John was saying to something new so that He wouldn't get in trouble with Herod, but He proclaims the very message that John was proclaiming. The kingdom of God is at hand. He was proclaiming the same message that had been proclaimed for years upon years. The darkness that we find in Jesus' life, the darkness that we find all around Him, that was not something that came from Herod. It far predated Herod and all of his little petty worries over his kingdom. The darkness that we find surrounding Jesus, trying to close in upon Him in that moment, is the darkness that we find slithering up that tree of the knowledge of good and evil all the way back at the beginning of time in Eden. That serpent, Satan, came with a message to tempt Adam and Eve. He came with a message that was vile venom. A message full of speculation about what could be. And the day that you eat of that fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil for yourselves. You'll make the determination about what's right and wrong. Why, that serpent led them out from the truth into that desert, that vast desert of speculation of what could be. That venom that spilled from his mouth. Well, instead of the light of truth, Adam and Eve attempted to be like God. to determine for themselves what was right and what was wrong. Then it's true. They knew good, but only by nostalgia, only by looking back on what had been. And they knew evil because they were blinded by the darkness of that everlasting grave of hell that was opening before them. It seems so senseless. When we think about that event, doesn't our mind at times race when we ask the question, why would God let this happen? We spin around in speculation, trying to figure it out. But the words of our text today, the words of our theme, bring us back to the truth from all that speculation. So that it might be fulfilled, God promised. God promised light in the darkness. He promised that Eve's seed, her descendant, would crush that serpent. He promised Abraham much later that that seed would grow up to be the sacrifice who would take our place and pay for our sins. So that it might be fulfilled, God promised through the prophet Isaiah, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. That prophecy was given to Isaiah 700 some years before Christ so that we might see in that moment when Jesus fulfills that prophecy that he is the one. He is the promised seed of Eve, the promised seed of Abraham. Now we know the historical facts. God had already begun to make this revelation so long before, a glow that is over at the horizon in the prophecies of old. But Matthew chooses this event as the beginning. That moment when that first ray of the sun shines over the silhouette of the rocks in the horizon. And so that it might be fulfilled, God sent forth his own son. And Jesus began to preach, as Matthew says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, this isn't a new message. It's the same message that God first spoke to Adam and Eve. It's the same message that he proclaimed to Abraham. The same message that he gave the Israelites. The same message that was proclaimed by the prophets. Only now, finally we get to hear God's own Son speak these words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is revealed. He is before us, and we're not just seeing him in promises, but seeing him now in the world, fulfilling these promises of God. We see the love of God outpoured from Galilee. Not some abstract place, but a place you can go to on this globe. A real place. And his real love poured out for the nations of the world, not just Israel. And while that light is deserving of words of the most eloquent wisdom, it's such a simple message. Just as the light of the sun can be split up into a bunch of different colors, so we can see the message of Christ in every teaching in the Scriptures. And when you put them together, what do you find? But there is one light, one Christ, one Savior of the world, one love of God. The light that we see shining forth from God's heart, overcoming even that darkness that we see beneath the furrowed brow, the furious brow of God's wrath over sin. And yet what do we see when we look in the Scriptures but the love of God outpoured. He loves you. Jesus came preaching that love, and he came living in that love, living that love out for you. He came to die for love of you. He came to reconcile you to God. He came to win for you a place in heaven above by dying for you, by going down into the deepest depths of that pit of hell for you. He cut through the darkness. He walked out of that grave, the light of the world that no darkness can overcome. He came to give you eternal life. Now the darkness is quickly passing away. It lingers in our hearts because of our old sinful nature. Yet it flees when it hears him. He spoke to those fishermen and he said, "Come, follow me." And Andrew and Peter and James and John did just that. They followed him. And as they followed him, his light was reflected from them. Just as light is reflected off that little piece of polished carbon on people's rings, reflected all over the place, we see these men going out into all the world, bringing this light of the love of God to everyone by the power of the Spirit. They spoke of this grace and truth and shared it with people in all the world. They became fishers of men, just as Jesus had said they would. And that same message has reflected now down through the ages, from one Christian to a heathen-made Christian, all the way down through those thousands of years to us. And we're hearing it here today. God loves you. God sent his Son to live and die for you and to rise again to give you eternal life. Listen to that light. That's a wonderful message from God that we don't want obscured with speculation, with imagining what could be. You have the forgiveness of all your sins. Sometimes we've done something terrible and we look at ourselves and say, "Why? Why would God forgive me?" That's speculation. Listen to what he says. You are forgiven. Your sins are removed from you as far as the east is from the west. That's the light that brings the truth. That's the light that brings you to the facts. Why you? Why me? We ask that question. Why should we be the ones who receive such a great inheritance from one that we have not known? Why should we be able to come to this place and listen to God's own words? What's so special about us? Well, it's nothing special about us. God has gathered us, and he sends us forth. Just as he sent out Andrew and Peter and James and John, he has given us the good news of Christ. He has brought us to this place so that we might hear it and be recharged with it every week. And now he sends us out into this world to reflect that light to other people. We have been given a great privilege because the light has shone upon us. Bring that light. Bring it with you out into this world. Many of your neighbors, many of your friends, many of your relatives still live in the gloomy darkness of the shadow of death, wondering what in the world is going to happen. You know, you have this light of God. Share it with them. Consider what it means that God has expressed his purpose to us. We don't have to wonder and worry. The incomprehensible things of this life are changed by that statement of purpose. No longer is the death of a beloved Christian just senseless. It is a joy for him as he enters into the heavenly places. It is an opportunity to share the reason for the hope that he had, the hope that we have. It's an opportunity to share the joy that he now feels in heaven, being with God as God intended. The meaning of those incomprehensible moments in our lives is changed by that statement of God's purpose. We may have no idea why something happens to us, but in the light of the revelation of God's purpose, we know that it must be for our good somehow. We know that God has our best in mind at every moment, things that we can't begin to understand. He has put aside for us, made available to us. Sometimes we blunder about in this life. I think about this when I think about how I confess Christ to my friends and relatives and neighbors. Sometimes I'm like that kid in the kitchen with all the flour everywhere, that failed attempt at a cookie. That's sometimes what it's like when I try to share the gospel, and I'm sure that that's been your experience at times too. And yet remember that the Lord knows your purpose because He gave you that purpose. He looks at you as His own dear children, and He loves you. Such is the power of the revelation of God's will in Christ. He would have you for Himself and no other. He loves you. He takes you into His own family by means of water and the Word. And He would have you love Him above all else. Nothing's ever going to change that. Nothing can, dear Christian. May we reflect that light and that love. May we enjoy the sunrise of His grace upon each of us, each and every day, into eternity, the eternity in heaven that He has prepared for His beloved. May that be our hope, our light in this dark place while we await His return. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.